Good morning. Happy Easter, everyone. Come on, come on. A little bit better than that. Come on. It's like when the Cholo scored a goal, right? Come on, come on, come on. Yeah. Yeah, this victory is for real. This victory is for real. Not phony, baloney, fake, you know. This is for real. Guys, you guys do me a favor and maybe move to the center. Those who are able, Manuel, you can stay there. Everybody else, please, that way I don't have to turn over there and I don't have to turn over there. That way I got you all here and I can take attendance. Okay, you're here. Welcome to I want to welcome everyone to Eastlake Church Playas. Welcome. Thank you for being with us on Easter weekend. I know that you could have maybe been at the beach, but I was like thinking, why would you want to go to the beach? It's contaminated, right? Yeah? Why? Better here. Your kids are going to get little eggs and get some popcorn and get some paletas and all that stuff. So today is a celebration of a moment that changed the whole world. Yes. It changed the whole world. The resurrection of Jesus, right? Everything was different from that moment, bigger than the tearing down of the Berlin Wall, bigger than World War II, bigger. So today we're starting a new series called Jesus Is, and you could have a little line there and you could fill out whatever you think he is. But for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at a different aspect of who Jesus is and why it matters for us today. So today we're going to be talking about, here's your first fill-in, Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. I know that we all come to Easter from different places and different pictures in our mind of what Easter is. You know, to some it represents a weekend when the men can wear pastel colors and not lose their man card, right? Ooh, got an excuse, right? That's right, baby. All right? Or maybe it's about the family vacation. Or maybe it's about the bunny. Maybe it's about the egg hunt, right? Regardless of how you see Easter, my goal today is to help you see what Easter is really all about, right? And why it's a big deal for us Jesus followers. Easter is not a celebration of Jesus' life. Easter is not a celebration of Jesus' teachings. Easter is a celebration of a very specific event in human history. That's what Easter is all about. Here's your next fill-in. Easter is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus that gives us freedom. You guys get that? Yeah? 2,000 years ago, Jesus was crucified on the cross. He died, buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, resurrected to life. And that's what today is all about. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Death did not have power over him. What happened on Friday, the day he was crucified so many thousands of years ago, wasn't the end of the story. Easter is about life. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And he gives us freedom. He gives us freedom. Maybe when you hear that, maybe you push back a little bit, right? Maybe you have a difficult time accepting that. Maybe it's something you wrestle with, right? You should. Because it's normal for dead people to stay dead. Right? It's normal. It's normal for dead people to stay dead. And usually when someone dies 3 days later, they're smelling a lot like Raider fans. Where are the Raider fans? I needed to get you even on Easter. Yeah. Right? Usually when someone dies, they don't come back to life. And it's understandable to wrestle with that. Which is why when we read the biblical accounts of the resurrection, it doesn't show a bunch of Jesus followers outside the tomb counting down ready with a bunch of fireworks on Resurrection Sunday going 10, 9, help me out, 8,
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He's risen! You don't see that. You don't see that. Because dead people, they don't come back to life. You know, because it's normal for dead people to stay dead. It doesn't show people gathering around the tomb, gathering around the empty tomb, singing, hallelujah. Sing with me. Hallelujah. 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 You don't get that. Nobody's doing that. You don't read that in the scripture. Right? The celebration, like, you know, when your team wins the Super Bowl, right? Or when the Toros or the Cholos win the championship. We're like, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Right? None of that. So instead, you see a bunch of terrified, confused people in the days after his death. They were like, why? What happened? They're freaking out, scared. Because their leader was just crucified, beaten, spit on, whipped. They were freaking out. But then something happened. Say with me, something happened. Over a period of 40 days, over 500 people claimed to be eyewitnesses to the resurrected Jesus. Let me say it again. Over a period of 40 days, over 500 people saw Jesus alive. Psalm. And those are the same people that wrote the New Testament. And as much as a fairy tale as it sounds, the way the story unfolds and the way Christianity instantly takes off has led over millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people to believe over the past 2,000 years of history. And today, over 2 billion people are celebrating Easter. Wow. Right? The resurrection of Jesus. Celebrating the most significant event in the history of the world. He is risen. Woo! Party! Like, yeah, party! I mean, like, party, guys. Party like it's 1999. The resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of our faith. But without the resurrection, Christianity is nothing. 1 Corinthians 5:14 should be on your outline. Says this: if Christ has been has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and your faith is what?
Useless.
Bam, 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 bam. Without the resurrection of Jesus, Christianity is nothing, nada. Absolutamente nada. Maybe it's an April Fool's joke, right? Jesus is risen, April Fool's. The resurrection is the point of decision. We either believe it or we don't. We either believe that Jesus is Lord and his followers saw him alive, or that Jesus and his followers were liars. That Jesus and his followers were crazy. Locos, cuckoo. What? You're on something, bro. The resurrection is what gives those who follow Jesus hope. The hope of the resurrection is what gives us peace. The hope of the resurrection is what gives us strength to carry on. The hope of the resurrection is what gives us endurance through the darkest days. At least it does that for me. The resurrection is what makes Christianity unique among world religions. Buddha, Muhammad, Walter Mercado, Michael Jackson, they're all dead. Oh, not Michael Jackson. No, he's my idol. He's dead. You know, for those of you, you know who Walter Mercado is? He's dead. No, he's still alive, right? He's still alive? Oh, man. They're all dead, except Walter Mercado. Friday, the movement of Jesus died with Jesus. You know, he had a bunch of followers. And when he was crucified, his movement died. Saturday, the way of Jesus did not exist. There was virtually nothing left but a handful of scared, confused followers hiding out. But Sunday, he said with me, Sunday.
Sunday.
It was birth. It exploded throughout Jerusalem with his resurrection. People were willing to die for what they saw. A resurrected Jesus. Woo! Right? Yes! I mean, because if this is all we got, dude. Right? Maybe some of you once believed that maybe you're going to come back as a cow or a dog or monkey or something. Is that what we got? Hey, I don't want to be a monkey. I imagine a cow be a burger somewhere sometime. The point of today's talk is not to convince you with a list of evidence that the resurrection of Jesus happened. Hey, today we're going to be looking at biblical, circumstantial, and historical evidence here. That's not what I'm going to do. But what I want to challenge you. If you have not settled this, do some homework. Decide for yourself once and for all. Without the resurrection, he's just a prophet, a good teacher, or a crazy guy who thought he was God. Who do you think he is? But if in fact Jesus did rise from the dead, it changes everything. And it's the kind of proof that brings confidence that Jesus is who he said he is. And will do everything he promised to do. Easter is a celebration of the Jesus resurrection that gives us freedom. The Bible is filled with stories of God delivering people from bondage and slavery, of injustice, of oppression, sickness, poverty, and ultimately spiritual darkness. John 8:36, I want you guys to help me read it out loud with your outside voices. Are you guys ready? Set? Go. So if the Son sets you free, the Son sets you free, you are truly free. As humans, we're wired for freedom. That's why we like movies like Braveheart, right? The movie is about one of our deepest human desires, and that desire is freedom. In the movie, they sought freedom. And for the sake for freedom, William Wallace, Mel Gibson, right? He had, you know, the la peluca. You know, when I first saw it, it didn't look like a peluca, right? When you see it now, yeah, it looked like a peluca, no? Or an extension or something, right? Okay. When I first saw it, I didn't notice it. William Wallace and his followers go through an incredible hardship. They deprive themselves of safety. They deprive themselves of security. And they deprive themselves of basic comfort. They face incredible odds in the battlefield because they rather die than to live under a foreign oppressor. Sometimes we're oppressed by our enemy. Right? And at the end of the movie, his last words, he cries out, "Freedom!" I heard a story about some American prisoners being mistreated during World War II. But they were being held by the Japanese, and they were like, they're starving, they were getting beat down, they were getting spit on, they were getting kicked, they were getting mistreated. But when the Japanese surrendered, the guards were still trying to come in the cell to try to mistreat them, even after they had surrendered. But as soon as the Americans found out that the Japanese surrendered, they stood up with authority. They said, "You have no authority over me. I am free. I am free. Stand up." There's victory. There's victory. You don't have to be a slave. You don't have to be held captive. Jesus set you free. But you need to stand up. You need to stand up. Yet one of the biggest deceptions is they say, if you follow Jesus, especially your friends, right? The ones you went to, Las Pulgas, and you go to all these places with, they're like, if you follow Jesus, you're going to have to stop doing all the things that you enjoy. You're going to have to line up with all the rules and change all the things that you like to do. And you're probably going to have to stop drinking anything stronger than Hawaiian Punch. We run from God because we're afraid that he's going to take away our freedom. This is one of the greatest deceptions and lies from Satan. Believing in and following Jesus is not about giving up your freedom. It's about getting it back. getting it back, the freedom we once lost a long time ago. Freedom is where we started. Freedom is where we are made for. And God is the only one that can give it to us. And he's given it to us through the resurrection of Jesus. So I want to quickly share with you something I call the circle of freedom. We started with freedom. Then came the fall. Faith. Fruits. So here's your next fill-in. Freedom. We had it. We had it. In Genesis, the first book of the Bible, it talks about where we came from and how everything in the world was got started. In the first chapter, we see that God designed an amazing place for people or for Adam and Eve to live. Right? It was amazing. In the beginning, God created everything and the earth, everything in heaven and earth. And God looked over at what he had made and he said, "This is good." Have you been to an exotic place where you're like, wow, this is awesome? Anybody been there? Well, heaven or this place was better than that. Was better than that. It's better than Cancun and better than all these places that you look at. Whoa, you know? Better than that. So when God gave the world to Adam and Eve, he implied that they could be as imaginative as they wanted. They could build their homes. They could build condos. They could build the house on the beach. They could create businesses, and they could put the taco shop up, burger shop. They could do sushi restaurant. They could do pizzas. They could do everything. Name the plants. Hey, this is weed, and this is that, and this is this, and this is that, right? Have amazing sex and populate the earth. Wow. He didn't micromanage. He didn't make demands. He gave an open canvas and he said, go for it. Do it. Have at it. Make it what you want. Mansion, make a mansion, you know. Populate. So from the beginning, we had freedom. Here's number two, the fall. We lost it. We lost it. Genesis 3, the fall refers to the fact that all creation fell from a previous state of perfection. And the effects of Adam and Eve first sin continuing all the way to the present. Though we weren't actually there, Adam and Eve were our representatives before God. And you're probably thinking, ah, oh, stupid Adam and Eve. They messed it up for everybody. I could have done a better job. Right? Can't believe it. How come you didn't put me, Lord? I would have passed the test. I would have passed. Not in your notes, it's on the screen. Romans 5:12 says this. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because what? All of us. All of us. Here's the third one, faith. How we can get it back. How can we get it back? Some think that faith and religion are the same thing. Oh, you're religious. Ah, you're religion. I'm not a religious person. You know, some think that faith and religion is the same thing. Religion is tells us what we must do for God to accept us. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that, and then God will accept you. That's religion. Changing to get God's approval is religion. That's not faith. Right? So how do we get it back? How we get faith back is not about what we do. It's about what God has already done. And what did he do? He sent his son to pay for us. If you have faith in the list of things to do, the rules to follow, then we create our own stairway to heaven. And where you're going to find out that you're going to find a wall. Everything religion attempts to do has been done already. It's called grace. Not in your notes. Colossians 2, 13 and 15 through 15 says this. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away nailing it to the cross. In this way, he, what? The spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over the cross, over them on the cross. Do you guys? He disarmed them. The spiritual rulers and authorities that have been giving you a beat down. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. He jacked them up. You know, say, for example, you were getting bullied. Jesus gave him a bully beat down. The basis for our faith, our victory, is a person. Jesus is God in the flesh. God became his own message of grace. Faith gets us nowhere. But faith in God's love and mercy and grace brings freedom. Number four, fruits. What do we do now? What do we do now? What do we do with our freedom? Do we continue doing what brought us pain and suffering? Do we continue doing what held us captive? Do we continue doing the same things that we know are not good for us? Do we continue doing that with our freedom? What do we do now? We bear fruit. And what that means is that we take steps to live accordingly to God's plan for our lives. We move forward. Even if it's one step at a time, one step a week, one step a month, one step every 3 months, one step every 6 months. Move forward. Don't go back. Don't go back to captivity. Look at what it says in Ephesians 2:10. Not in your notes, it's on the screen. It says this: for we are the product of his hand, heaven's poetry etched on lives, created in the anointed Jesus to accomplish the good works God arranged long ago. We have God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. And we do things for Him. We're still going to make mistakes. We're still going to make mistakes. We're still going to jack some stuff up. How many of you have kids that have played T-ball? Anybody? T-ball? One, two, three. T-ball, right? Maybe grandkids, niece, something, right? T-ball. It's a sport that's rich in mercy, right? The ball, what happens is these little kids, right, they're trying to hit the ball, and the ball's on a tee. And for those of you who have been to one of those games, how many swings do those kids get? Something like 10 swings, right? The parents are in the stands cheering, "Go, Johnny! Go, Johnny! Juanito, pégale! Pégale, Juanito! Woo! Yeah! Carlitos, dale duro!" And for every swing, I'm like, what are you cheering for? They're not even hitting the tee. Why are we celebrating this? Then on the 10th swing, Johnny Juanito brushes the bottom of the tee and the ball barely falls. And the coach goes, "Correle, Juanito! Correle, Johnny! Run, Johnny! Run, Johnny!" And Johnny is running to the opposite direction, right? Johnny is running to the outfield, and the parents are like, "Yeah, yeah, run, Johnny! Run, 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 run!" God is like that. When we get one strike, then we get another strike, then we get another strike, and everybody's saying, "Come on, he's out! He's out!" You know, the other side, right? "He's out! Ya estuvo, ya sáquenlo!" We keep swinging and swinging and swinging and swinging. And God, who is rich in mercy, is saying, "Swing, swing. You're a slugger. Swing, swing, swing. Come on, he's out." And God says, "Hey, the kid is not out until I say he's out. That's my papa. That's our God." And he's telling us, swing, swing, swing. And he's cheering, "Go, Johnny. Go, Juanito." Jesus is rich in mercy. He doesn't want anything from us. He wants something for us. I want to share a story of a couple. We have a network of churches. And this couple is one of our members. Check this out.
Our home was supposed to be, it's supposed to be a safe place for your family. And times where we would be arguing, my anger, my temper would get to the point where I would say some really nasty things in front of my kids to my wife.
I brought a whole load of insecurities into my marriage. I brought in anger. That anger would escalate. I brought in jealousy. I brought in distrust.
And because of my temper, because of my anger, I actually spoke of divorce 3 times. I invited that into our marriage and into my wife's heart.
It wasn't safe for Phil when he'd come home from work. It wasn't safe for me. We were in a dark place.
You know, if I wasn't busting holes in the walls, she was busting holes in the walls.
We had no self-control.
You know, in the middle of all this chaos that was going on within our marriage, our godparents actually told us about CR. I was desperate for our marriage to work, and so we decided, hey, you know, we got nothing to lose. Part of the process of Celebrate Recovery, they have a Christ-centered 12-step program, which is called Step Studies. It's a beautiful grind. It's one of those things where it's a 9 to 12 month process to deal with the real issues that you're dealing with. And through that, you take a look at yourself, you really take a look what's causing these issues, and you work through them.
When you're in the midst of marital distress, you tend to feel like you're by yourself and no one will relate to you. No one understands what you're going through. And when I went to Celebrate Recovery, there was a bunch of people who knew exactly how I felt. And it was comforting and it was reassuring.
Through that community, we felt, you know, Christ just working right there in the midst of that.
We were starting to laugh more. And so that, for me, is how I felt like our marriage was getting better. We can do things together as a family.
Man, can you believe it? We're doing a devotion together without us arguing over it and bickering over it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's one of those things that we actually cherish. You know, it's a continued process. It's a thing where we have to constantly be involved in church, whether we're coming to service or listening online. It's just staying connected with community. I think that's where Jesus is found. Part of the freedom and the liberty in that is, you know, we don't have to try to fix each other. It's a thing where we just continue to surrender to Christ. And the only way we were able to do that is to unearth these things, those dark sides, and bring it to the light.
We are still definitely having to be intentional about our actions, be intentional about our tone, be intentional about coming to church and staying plugged in and being in community and being involved. We love each other, but we just didn't know how.
We can sense, see, and feel God working in our marriage. We found freedom with putting Jesus first in our marriage.
Jesus can set you free. He can set you free from anything that you're facing. He can set you free instantly, or he can set you free gradually. Either way, you can find freedom in Jesus. I'd like to invite the band to come back. Jesus died, and he rose from the dead so that we can be free. Now is the point of decision for you today. Do you want to follow Jesus, who offers you freedom? Do Do you want to follow Jesus, who offers you freedom? In a moment, I will have everybody close your eyes. And I'm going to invite you. If you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus, if you're here and maybe you walked away from Jesus for a while and you want to maybe restart your life with Jesus, I'm going to be asking you to please raise your hand. Everybody's eyes is going to be closed. As a matter of fact, can everybody please close your eyes? Bow your head. So what I'm going to do is going to ask you, if you want to follow Jesus, or maybe you're going to restart your life with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And I'm going to look at you. I'm going to be your public, because the Bible says that make this public, and I want to be your public. So everybody's eyes closed. If you'd like to become a Jesus follower today, or restart your life with Jesus, please raise your hand high so I can see it. Thank you, Jesus. I see you, 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 I see you. Lord, we thank you. We love you. For leaving everything behind for us. I pray, Lord, that every single person here today leaves today with a different perspective of who you are. Then on Friday, you were whipped, spit on, crucified. But on Sunday, you rose and offer us eternity, and offer us freedom. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you guys please stand up?